You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30pm with Gareth Topham, Chris Pimlott and James Millman in the studio. We've got racing on the turf at Ayr, two national hunt meetings, one from Exeter and Worcester, and all weather action in the evening. So everybody's covered, the action coming from Chelmsford City in the evening. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio to look ahead to it is Stephen Powell. How are you, Stephen?
Hello, Mark. I'm fine, thank you. Are you?
I'm good. Coming on the back of a pretty good weekend in Longchamp, maybe an understatement, and a very good weekend ahead at Newmarket, which I'm sure you'll be there at.
I will be there, yes. And well, I was at Newmarket last weekend as well, when the racing was pretty good with Iso Tariq winning the Sun Chariot, and obviously two great days at Longchamp as well on Saturday and Sunday. And we're leading up to the first ever Dubai Future Champions Festival over 2 days. Two Group 1s, one on each day. Two Heritage Handicaps, one on each day. And a whole host of supporting group and listed races. And two valuable maidens as well. So the weather forecast is great.
Good.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Me too. I'm looking forward to the match, if you like, in the Dewhurst.
Yeah.
Air Force Blue against Emotionless. Really looking forward to that. And you've got the big betting race of the day as well in the Cesaro, which...
Yeah, that on Saturday, of course, the Dewhurst and the Cesaro, which with the 34 runners lining up for the Cesaro, which... on Saturday, which is going to be run after the Dewhurst, which, as you said, has got the match in. We'll talk about the Dewhurst in a moment, but the Cesarewitch is a fascinating race because when the trial was first run, the Cesarewitch trial, which was on the 19th of September, when it was inaugurated a few years ago, it didn't really make a great splash, and there was a lot of horses who might win it or run well, and they wouldn't be highly rated enough to get into the Cesarewitch itself. But that's sort of reversed a bit in recent years. There's been one or two that have just been cutting into it, and then we had a breakthrough last year with Big Easy, of course, winning the Cesarewitch, having been second in the trial. I mean, he ran terrible in the trial 3 weeks ago, but he is a big unit, and I'm not surprised if he, you know, comes on for that run.
Yep.
But the race was won by Low Key, who's just about the market leader with us at the moment. Strode away really nicely in the closing stages. He's snucking down at the bottom of the weights with a £4 penalty for that success. And obviously he's sort of like the fancy horse. He's won the trial. He's got a low weight. He's got the leading apprentice on, Tom Marquand, trained by David Pipe, who was involved with several winners of the race through his old man. So he's sort of like the sexy horse, so it's easy to see why he's favourite. And then you've got Tony Martin with two strong hands as the next pair in the betting. Quick Jack, who was quickly secured the services of Ryan Moore.
Yep.
Or in fact, actually, as it was, Ryan Moore's agent secured the services of Quick Jack. And Heartbreak,
that makes it more interesting.
It does, yeah. And then you've got Heartbreak City, who was really impressive when he went under, I think it was Fran Berry at York at the Ebor meeting as well. Renetti for Willie Mullins. William of Orange, who's a lovely big horse. He's a gorgeous individual. Neely Court, who ran well in the race last year. And the list goes on. I could name several horses. I mean, Oriental Fox, who won the trial himself a couple of years ago.
Yep.
He's back again, and we know he stays really, really well. It's a good race. I'm really looking forward to it. It's on Saturday, and I'm just looking to see, is Big Easy still left in the race? Because he's a big prize, considering he's won the race before, if he's still in there.
I don't think he's left in, is he?
No. That's a shame, really, because although it would back up why he probably ran so badly in the trial, to be fair, that maybe he hasn't come out of that 100%. But no, really good race, as I say. Really exciting. And as you say, fascinating that Ryan Moore's agent rang up to ride Quick Jack as opposed to the other way around. Although, personally, I don't think he stays, but that's another story.
Yeah, he was third in the race last year, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he was beaten by two stronger stayers. Mm. Okay.
He stays, but the last stronger
yeah, stayer. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing, because it's not black and white. As in, he doesn't stay, or he does. He does stay, but there are horses that strong better, that stay better, like Big Easy, who's a three-mile chase or three-mile hurdler, stayed better than he did. So, and I think that might be where his downfall falls again.
All right, Loki 7-1, 8-1 for Quick Jack. Heartbreak City is 10-1, 14s for Renetti and William of Orange, 16s for Amord and Wee, Monty Feltro, Nearly Caught and Steve Rogers, and 20-1 or bigger prices for the others. That's as it stands at the moment. We will move on to the Dewhurst next, Stephen. I was with you when he won at Doncaster, emotionless.
Yeah.
He heads the market with us at Even Money, and you were telling us how impressed you were when you saw him at Newmarket the time before, so I'm guessing you're more impressed now.
Even more so, yeah. When he won at Newmarket on the July course on his debut, it was a sort of well-known in advance that he's expected to run well, shall we say. And there was a lot of the sort of Godolphin bigwigs, if you will, who were there that evening, which is a rare occurrence outside of the leading fixtures. And he won it well. And I didn't expect the performance at Doncaster to be so impressive. I thought he's got a lot of potential. He'll improve. I think he could win. But the way he did it was just so taking. He's a lovely, big, striding horse. Really catches the eye. And I'm definitely in his camp over Air Force Blue. Okay. Although Air Force Blue was very impressive, of course, when he won at the Curry. But Herald the Dawn. Herald the Dawn didn't really do a lot for the form at the weekend at Longchamp in the Prix Jean-Luc Lagardère, which is only one way to look at it. There's obviously other ways you can sort of try and sort of divide the form. But I just, he was so impressive. Such a lovely looking horse. The way he strides out and the ground's going to... I mean, it's just good to soft as we're recording this, but we've got 3 dry, sunny days forecast. So come the race, it will be good. No excuses. And he's the one, I think, that's going to go close. I do think Burattino will run a good race, though. I know he's got a very different campaign.
I can't figure out Burattino, because I always think he's had too many races now, and he's probably going to plateau.
But he did have 2 months off in the middle, to be fair. And he was running on at the end of the middle park as though he wanted a bit further, I thought. So if the ground dries out enough for him as well, it wouldn't surprise me if he was sort of third best behind the other two.
All right. Anything else in the news caught your eye, Stephen? I see there's a little bit about jumpers and stuff in there.
Yeah, just starting to warm up. Some tracks sort of just starting to race now that we haven't seen for a few months. You know, this week, the Ludlows, the Toasters, Exeters of the world. Obviously, I've been at Huntingdon a couple of times as well. Just starting to bubble up nicely. Big weekend at Chepstow, so although it'll be at Newmarket and obviously fully focused on what's happening on the Roly Mile, on Sunday when I'm off, I'll take the opportunity to recap what happened at Chepstow on Saturday. And that's a very good new innovation, big 2-day meeting with a lot of prize money, which is great. And then obviously things start rolling on really well. We've got Cheltenham and then Aintree the same weekend, followed then next thing it's Charlie Hall weekend. And that is it then. I mean, to be honest, although Champions Day is still to come, I think after Newmarket this weekend, my interest in flat racing out of probably Champions Day and Racing Post Trophy Day will be declining significantly as my excitement for the jumps ramps up.
Yeah, this is where I start to flip around at the moment, is looking at the flat horses. And if there's a nice jumper, I'll take it in.
Yeah.
It'll be the other way around. I'll be looking at the jumpers. And if there's a nice flat meeting.
Yeah, if there's a maiden where it wins well at Nottingham when it's throwing it down on heavy ground at the beginning of November, like Golden Horn and Storm the Stars last year, then I'll pay attention.
Yeah, you probably should do if there's another Golden Horn knocking about somewhere. Anyway, should we leave that there? Let's move on to Thursday's action. Stephen's got 4 races picked out for us, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
On to Thursday's action then. We start in the 2:25 at Exeter, and this one is a Class 4 handicap hurdle over 2.25 miles. It's for 3-year-olds and older. We've got a field of 11 here, Stephen, and which ones have made the shortlist?
There are 2 horses here, Mark, catching the eye, which are horses that have been off for a long time. Number 3, Walter White, for Philip Hobbs and Tom O'Brien. Second when last seen, off a £5 higher mark in September of 2013. So he's been off for over 2 years. The handicap has given him a little bit back. He's still only 5 years of age as well. And had a lot of racing in his younger days on the flat. So I think that break in the long term will probably do him some good. Milord took a long time to get off the mark over hurdles, despite having a string of good efforts to his name, but did win when we last saw him at Wincanton in October of last year, so he's been off for a year as well. He was placed off a high mark in 2013 for Kim Bailey, whose form are in great form at the moment. Whose string are in great form at the moment, I should say. 4 winners and 3 seconds in the last 2 weeks, and he's very, very interesting as well. I'll quickly mention Perspice Cass for David Pipe and Michael Hurd. Has been dropped gradually after 4 heavy defeats this summer, but it doesn't matter what trip they run it over, it does not see it out, whether it's 2 miles or been 2.5 or in between. Whilst Belize, I think he's going to be, in the long term, a nice individual. Ran well in bumpers and a couple of hurdles so far, and he's still only four. But Tim Vaughan out of form, 0 from 20 in the last 14 days. And so to sum up, Milord, with the form of the Kim Bailey team, I think could make a winning return, having finally got his head in front the last time we saw him.
Milord to make a winning reappearance then in the 225 at Exeter. To the 350 at Airnex. This one is a class 5 handicap over a mile and a quarter. It's for 3-year-olds and older, and we'll start here. Well, where do you want to start here, Stephen? We've got the wee Barrow who comes here chasing the hat-trick, and then we've got Bell Travers who just keeps hitting the crossbar. The crossbar's in splinters, to use that old phrase.
Indeed.
So how do you see it going?
Well, I'll start with the wee Barrow as we mentioned that one first. I do think it's worth focusing on the three-year-olds in this race, actually, to be honest as well. The wee Barrow broke his duck at Carlisle and followed that up with a win at Ripon as well. He's obviously improving, and only narrow victories. So the handicapper hasn't been able to hammer him, and he's obviously improving, but he's up in grade, and this is the hardest race he's going to have contested so far. I'll mention Bright Flash quickly as well, because the horse managed to win at the end of last year and has shown that the ability's still there this season without managing to win. And I thought he'd run better than he did, dropped to 0-75 for the first time at Epsom recently, but it was Epsom, so I think it's easy enough to forgive a horse one bad run, especially at a course such as that. Back here at Ayr, another go, and I think the ability, as I say, is still there, and it's going to all fall right for him one day. But I do think they've both got to go to beat Bell Travers. Bumped into a horse who was in great form in La Superba at Sandown last time out, who's, I think, won four races on the spin. This is an easy race. It's a drop in grade. That was the class 4. This is a class 5. And obviously, Richard Fye's form still continuing good form. She's still improving. And Jack Garrity going all out to try and be champion apprentice as well. So I think they've found the race for her where those frustrating placed efforts will come to an end with a win.
Bit more jumping to come next. This one is the 4:15 at Worcester. This is a class 4 handicap hurdle over 2 miles, and we probably should start here with What a Laugh, Stephen, who arrives here in very, very fine form.
He does, yeah. His three wins at the end of last season were all point to points, and then his last win was in a Hunter Chase. He's won a couple of other Hunter Chases in this career as well. But what concerns me, although he's rated lowly over hurdles, is the fact that it's quite a big drop in trip, and he's got some younger horses who I think are probably just going to be a bit too quick for him. We've got Big Indy at the top, well beaten the last twice and still £7 above when he won 3 runs ago, so I think he's probably found his mark now. Whilst While You Wait's form figures look impressive, but when you delve into it, there's not a great deal of substance for all that his second last time out to Uttoxeter was probably just about one of his best efforts. Western Diva's generally struggled since winning at Market Raisin last year. Where's the Hood? Where's the Tongue Tie? Has fell twice, and he's generally just turning into a disappointing performer for me. Number 6, Ink Master, fascinates me, really. 2 point-to-point places as a young horse, joined Philip Hobbs and was stuffed in all 5 hurdle runs last season, but he's in good hands, and I'm surely think they must think he can do better for the fact that they've still got him and are going handicapping, just worth keeping an eye on. And you've got Gamble as well, Tongue Tied for the first time, stayed well on the flat, been a mixed bag over hurdles, but this is handicap debut, and combined with that in the addition of the Tongue Tie, it could be the day that Gamble comes good. Not really original, but I think he's probably the most likely winner. Ink Master, definitely the fly in the ointment though.
Where's a Gamble, Stephen?
If you're from the Midlands, a Gamble is like a forward roll mark.
Yes.
Yeah.
I heard Stephen say Gamble once and had no idea what he was talking about.
Yeah,
and it turns out it's a forward roll if you're from the Midlands.
It's a word of local dialect.
Yeah, really poorly where I'm from. We'll finish with the 7:10 at Chelmsford City. A bit of all-weather action to finish, so we cover all bases. This one is a class 5 handicap over 2 miles. And we've got 8 runners here. Which of the stayers is going to come home in front, Steve?
Well, this is a good little race mark for a class 5 handicap, to be honest, and really hard to try and decipher what was going to win. Trafalgar Rock got off the mark, I think, at the 14th or 15th attempt at Hamilton a couple of weeks ago in the hands of Joe Fanning, but he has been placed 5 times before on the all-weather, so there's no concerns coming back to Chelmsford. And it's the sort of horse that the yard can do well with this, you know, sort of improving type. But he is 4, and thus I think that the 3-year-olds might be open again to further improvement down at the bottom. Although another 4-year-old, Shadows of the Night, has won over this trip, just off a £2 lower mark at Chepstow, and he's been very consistent since then. He's had a little break, couple of months off, which could have freshened him up. SDS is riding again blisteringly well. He's had really good form the last few days, and he goes exceptionally well at Chelmsford. He got a great strike rate at Chelmsford, so I'm concerned about him or interested in him if he's sort of an each-way price. And then you've got the 3 3-year-olds at the bottom. Front five, who has not been really given any sort of leeway by the handicapper after 3 handicap defeats. So they're going up in Trip to 2 Miles, which could unlock some improvement. Shifting Moon has won all 4 of his career starts here, including his last 3 between a mile and 5 and 2 miles. And his best of those 3 wins was over 2 miles. So back here, of course, is a big positive for him. And then at the bottom, you've got Taufolo, who's trained by Sir Mark Prescott. Much improved up to 1.5 miles last time behind Shifting Moon on his handicap debut. And again, a typical Sir Mark Prescott horse going up to 2 miles. And I think he might reverse the form with Shifting Moon in this contest. A really tricky little race. I'm just going to side with Taufolo because I think he could be open to more improvement and Shadows of the Night. If he's an each-way price, could be worth keeping an eye on with a staying well and good jockey booking.
Superb. As always, Stephen, just a little bit of a quick summary before you go, if you'll spin us through your selections again.
In the 2.25 at Exeter Mark, Milord for the informed Kim Bailey team. 3.50 at Ayr, Bell Travers, down in grade, but improving nonetheless. At Worcester in the 4.15, we'll go with Gambol, although keep your eye on Ink Master, who's an interesting contender. And in that 7.10 at Chelmsford, Taufolo down at the bottom to reverse the recent course form with Shifting Moon.
Good work. Good to see you again, Stephen.
Thank
you.
Always a pleasure.
And enjoy it on Thursday.
Thank you, Mark.
There you go, the thoughts of Stephen Powell on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. with Gareth Topham, Chris Pimlott and James Millman in the studio. We've got racing on the turf at Ayr, National Hunt action from Exeter and Worcester, and all weather racing in the evening from Chelmsford City. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.